Proverbs 16:27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. This reads Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 through 30. Would you pray with me again, please? Lord in heaven, we hear your word this evening as it has been read. But Father, we want to hear it tonight with more than just the sounding upon our ears. We want to hear it with the searching of our heart. We thank you, Father, that your word is divinely inspired by your very breath. You moved men to write it. And as you moved holy men to write your divine word, we pray, Father, as you have pricked our hearts, as you have renewed our hearts through your Spirit, that you would plant that word within our thinking tonight. We might be conscious of it, that we might find its application to our own lives. Help us, Lord, with understanding, but help us with conviction. There are things about our attitudes, there are things about our feelings that should be changed to line with your righteousness. And help us, Lord, to receive your guidance. Help us by your power by repentance to change the things that ought to change in our lives. Help us, Lord, as we hear your word tonight, that we would understand that you didn't say it just to put it on paper, but for your glory and for our good. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. The subject that I want to ask you to look at tonight is one that's a very practical subject. It's a subject that, as I've said already, sometimes gets overlooked. It's a subject that sometimes is laughed about. It's a subject that sometimes is even relegated to the backyard fence with our neighbor. But the fact of the matter is, it's something that God describes in some very serious terms. I want you to look with me, if you would, tonight, in light of some words that Solomon gives to his children, to his family, and to God's children in chapter 4, to look with just two verses. But I want you to see what Solomon says. Remember that God gave Solomon the wisdom. The Holy Spirit gave Solomon the direction in gathering and penning these proverbs. He says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine." I give you good teaching. "Forsake not my law." What I want you to notice is that we look at these subjects tonight, or look at these verses tonight, and the things that are said, we're hearing the words of a loving father who is talking to his children about things that have great impact in their lives. Solomon addressed his own family, and we're not told exactly how many children Solomon had, but we are given the names of some of them. But then remember that Solomon had a number of wives and a number of concubines, and it's very likely that he had many children. And in that reality, he addressed his household, but as the king speaking under the inspiration of God, he addressed God's children. And in that way, he addresses us tonight. And what I want you to see is there is this sense of importance to what he was saying. I'm giving you good teaching. I'm giving you valid teaching. I'm giving you truthful teaching. Don't turn away from it. The consequence of doing that is very harmful. So when we read these things tonight, I have to read them thinking to myself, okay, I can't think, well, somebody else needs to hear this. Lord, what is it that I need to hear? And as I thought about this particular subject, I want to look at it tonight in three basic questions. And then I want to come back to it next Sunday night to look at two other thoughts from it. But I want us to look tonight at, first of all, at the inner link that it really has with all of us. And then I want us to look at what gossip is in terms of what it really does. And then I want us to look at what it is in terms of the biblical statements. The first thing I want you to see with me tonight is that gossip is not just open conversation. First thing I want you to see is that what we call gossip, God addresses as some rather serious things. There are tale bearers. There are whisperers. You see, what it connects to is not our circumstance around us so much as our hearts and our tongues within us. When we look at the passages of Scripture that Solomon writes in the book of Proverbs, we're looking at something that connects directly to our heart. We're looking at something that affects directly our tongues, parts of our body, parts of our mind, parts of our feeling, parts of the inner man. You know, Paul prayed that the church would be strengthened in the inner man. Well, if there are those things that affect our inner man, and those things are at conflict with what God tells us, then we need to understand that it's our heart that is at question at some time. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, and look with me at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. And I'm going to back up and read 6 because it picks up the whole sentence. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You see, Solomon is cautioning against our actions that join us to those who really aren't interested in our well-being. They're more interested in themselves than they are us. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes, folks, our conversations, if we're not careful, can fall into line with that, where we're more interested in ourselves than we are about the well-beings of others. As a man thinks in his heart. You see, the concerns that come out of our mouth are the concerns that are going on the inside of us. So the starting point of our understanding of this subject that we in our English language define as gossip basically is how our heart thinks about other people. Notice with me, if you would, Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10, verses 19 and 20. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth, little value. You'll notice that expression in verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not, there lacketh not sin. Those things that we ramble on about, that we talk about and we share about other people and about other circumstances, a lot of times we'll just talk about anything and everything that's gone on about us. And most of the time, our minds get to that point where in the multitude of our words, there's not lacking sinful thoughts. Now, well, you don't know that I talk like that. Well, let me tell you, I know what God says, and God knows how we all are. In the multitude of our words, there lacketh not sin. Our tongue, my tongue. James in the New Testament says in James chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 8. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. It makes great changes. It makes great alterations. It shifts our mind. It shifts our behavior. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We don't think much about the words that we speak, but a little fire can start a wildfire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Satan will use our careless tongue. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Well, I've got mine tamed. No, you haven't. Well, how do you know? Because God said the tongue, because of Satan's temptations and Satan's actions, the tongue hath no man tamed. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's why in the multitude of our words, sin comes so easily. And then if you'll notice with me, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Well, my conversation doesn't matter. My gossip won't matter. The things that I say don't mean much. And yet the scripture says that it's like a piercing. It cuts deep. It may not mean much to you because it's not aimed at you. It's not about you. It may not be sharing something that's about your life. It may not be talking about something that is troubling to you. But it may cut very deeply to someone else. But what I want you to see is that in these three statements about our heart and our tongue, what God says is what we can gloss over on the surface, He sees beneath the surface and sees the difficulties. Our words often express what's really going on in our heart. Our words give us a lot of opportunity for sin. Our words can cut very deeply. What struck me as I read these verses was that what we lightly laugh about and call gossip as if it's really nothing important, God doesn't look at it that way. God looks at it as something that has a lot greater impact upon our own life and upon the lives of others. Look with me for just a moment. What we call gossip, we usually talk about, well, did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Well, I heard somebody so-and-so. I heard this person got in trouble. I heard this person had that problem. I heard this was going on in their family. I heard that was going on. Did you hear about that? Well, then you take off and hear it and go somewhere else and say, well, I heard today that so-and-so is going on in this and so-and-so's family. And before long, it gets spread around. Well, I'm just saying what somebody else... Yeah, I understand. We do that. I've done it too. But what are we really doing when that happens? I would suggest to you one thing, that our speech very often demonstrates within our lives that we're going opposite of what Jesus commands us to do. You see, one of the things we're told to do in the Scripture, in the New Testament in particular, Jesus tells us that we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. He tells us we are to esteem others more highly than ourselves. And yet if we're talking about other people's problems, we're often doing so with the idea that, yeah, I'm glad they got that problem and not me. And what I'm actually doing is often laughing at their circumstance. I wouldn't want them laughing at me, but I'm quite frequently enjoying doing it to somebody else. Jesus said that we're to do unto others in the way that we want them to do unto us. Sometimes our speech and our conversations don't back that up in our behavior, does it? What are we doing? Let me ask you to go back to our text verses for just a minute in chapter 16. I want you to notice the words that are linked here. Proverbs chapter 16, beginning in verse 27. An ungodly man. Now what does that word ungodly mean? We tend to look at the word and we think, oh, that's somebody that's doing this really bad thing. Well, that's true, but it's not necessarily the most heinous and most flamboyant of things. The word ungodly literally means not God's way. And if God says, I'm to esteem others more highly than myself, then I'm to treat other people the way I want them to treat me, and that I'm to love as Christ loved me, and I don't do it, then I am in that regard being ungodly. Well, I've been born again. I'm God's child. I understand. But when you were your parents' child at home, did you always do what your parents wanted you to do? In the same way that we very often look for ways to get around our parents, we as God's children often look for ways to get around what He tells us. And in that regard, we are being ungodly. Not godly in our behavior. An ungodly man, ungodly behavior diggeth up evil, diggeth up harsh things, diggeth up damaging things, brings up his lips are like a burning fire. A froward man, a fraudulent man, a man that says one thing and behaves another way. That's a froward man. A fraudulent man. sows strife. We use the term two-faced. We talk one thing and do something else. Person claims to be one. We use the term hypocritical, claiming to be one thing and then being something else. All of that falls in to being a froward man. A froward man stirreth strife. Strife is the result. A whisperer separateth chief friends. You can look over in Proverbs chapter 26. You'll find that word used there as a tale bearer. It's the word that's translated in the King James as tale bearer translates from the same word that's translated here as whisperer. Go around talking behind someone's back. Watch the results. It separates principal friends. Chief friends, good friends can be separated. Relationships can be broken by whispering. A violent man enticeth his neighbor. Well, I don't go around beating up on people. It's not translated from a word which means necessarily physical brutality. It is from a word which uses other people for unjust gain for oneself. I entice other people by my words, and I'm the gain by it. You see, what he's linked together in all of these is that our words have rather stark and rather startling consequences. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12. He that is void or empty of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. An absence of wisdom brings about words that speak disrespectful. Well, did you hear about it? Basically, what we're doing is being disrespectful of them at the very base level. I don't hate them, maybe not, but are we being respectful of them, of their feelings, of their thoughts, of their things that are going on in their lives? I find that when all of these things that have to do with our speech, all of the attitudes that are connected to the practice of gossip or of exchange of juicy news that we've heard about somebody else, it's not for edification. It's usually for either to build up ourselves because of somebody else's misfortune or to sound like we know what's going on. And the results are in none of these are described in good terms. Now, I guess what we have to come down to is, am I guilty of doing it? And I'm not going to stand up here tonight and ask for a show of hands. I'm not, because I'd have to be the one first one sometime to hold up my hand. But I would tell you that we're all more apt to be guilty of doing it than we want to admit, because it's carelessness and thoughtlessness that usually brings it about. Just what is it that we would classify as this kind of conversation? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. If I talk about something that somebody else has told me, then what does the Lord say I'm doing? I'm being a talebearer. I'm being a whisperer. If I talk about someone else's circumstance that probably they don't want to be public knowledge, or if I'm talking about something that is public knowledge in such a way that is intended to put them down because of it, then I'm being a talebearer revealing secrets. Look at what he says. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. He that is of a faithful spirit. He that is of a faithful spirit to God, first of all, who is going to love others more than himself, who is going to love others the way God has loved us, who is going to treat others the way He wants to be treated, a man of a faithful spirit will conceal and keep secret that which is desired to be secret. He also, if you go into the New Testament, Paul speaks about our love. He said that perfect love casteth out fear. It covereth a multitude of sins. You're not excusing sin, and you may need to go talk to them one-on-one about it. But spreading it around is not the answer. Can't help but think, my first job, and it was a job that I'd worked in and out of for several years, my first job was working in a grocery store. Have you ever looked at what's at every checkout in virtually every grocery store or Walmart that you go to, or dollar store or any of those kind of things? Have you ever looked at what's hanging on the rack while you're standing in line to try to get your attention? They're called scandal sheets. Because that's what they contain. They contain pictures that somebody has stolen secretly. They contain ideas that are unverified. They contain things that are supposed to be juicy. Why do you think that's so successful? Because human beings are so easily swayed to sink their teeth into it. A whisper. Another term that's used in the Hebrew is that it's a scandal monger. You see, brothers and sisters, these things are not just business. They are appealing to where there's not. There are, in the multitude of our words, there wanteth not sin. It's easily there. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Hearing it is one thing. You can't walk around the world with your fingers stuck in your ear. But the question is, when we hear it, what do we do with it? And I'll talk a little bit more about this next time. But what I want you to see is that when we repeat things that we hear, it falls into that line of gossip. I can repeat a prayer need. I can repeat something that someone says to me and said, I've got this need. Will you ask someone to pray for me? I can repeat their request. But if they come to me and say, "Preacher, I've got a problem I need to talk to you about. Can I talk to you in confidence?" Well, yeah. Well, let me tell you what they told me today. Because the result is when I repeat things, it drives wedges. It's not what I hear alone. It's what I repeat. So my brothers and sisters, I would tell you that we as God's children need to be very careful that our actions line up with what God says they ought to be, not with the prevalence of what's around us. They need to be lined up with His Word, not with a multitude of words that get spread around. They ought to be with a concern, first of all, that would seek love and well-being of others the way we would want them to seek our well-being. That it would be, our words would be words of respect and of edification and of building up rather than knocking down. I would close tonight with asking you to look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. This is Paul talking to the Colossians. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Our words ought to be seasoned with grace. How many of us have sat down and thought, now this ain't got enough salt in it. I got to put a little more salt, or I got to put some pepper, or I got to put something else to make it a little more palatable. Grace will make our sharing of words, listening, refraining from repeating, if need be, more tasteful, more easy to be passed around, if it's not to the point of putting somebody else at ridicule or at laughter. Or we live in a culture where cutting people down is deemed to be funny. We live in a culture where mocking people is deemed to be entertaining. Folks, I don't see anywhere in the scriptures that we've read tonight where God says He finds it amusing, where He finds it entertaining, or where He puts any blessing at all on it. Now, I got two more things I want to talk about next week. And the one of them is how we can handle it within ourselves and among other people. It's human nature, and it's going to go on around us. The question comes down to, how am I going to deal with it? How am I going to deal with it in me? How am I going to deal with it among others who try to repeat things to me? See, folks, it's a practical thing. It affects every day of our life. But as Solomon said about it, it's good doctrine. It's very needful for us. May our words be seasoned with God's grace. May our hearts be godly in our choices. And may God help us that we not be a whisperer or a repeater or a talebearer or any of those things of which He speaks in these verses that we've read tonight. May the Lord help is my prayer. God, look down upon us, convict us if we find these things in our lives. Convince us of Your grace, that we would speak of others in a gracious and loving way. Lord, where we need to address sins, may we address them in a godly way. May we not spread them about. May we be respectful. May we be loving. May we watch our tongue. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. And amen.